Thank you so much for your generosity of extending this opportunity, and also we make extra effort also to be present to discuss the Dhamma. We had about 10 people having lunch on and waiting on this opportunity. So we might start now. So Viku, do you want to start?
There's one thing, by my study, I have a problem that, you know about the consciousness. In Bali Abhidhamma, we can use the term vijnana. It's a sort of a perception, right? So according to Abhidhamma Vidaka, so consciousness is a sort of vipaka chitta. So you got what I mean? Consciousness is a sort of vipaka chitta.
Well, vipaka chitta is one sort of consciousness.
Yeah. So from that we can draw a conclusion that what we are experiencing now in this time, in these days, is just a result for what we have done, right?
Whatever is real can be experienced not by anyone but only by panya. And not only intellectual understanding, because intellectual understanding is not the precise understanding with direct awareness and direct understanding. That's why the teachings of the Buddha comprises Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. There can never be Pativeda without Patipatti, and there will never be Patipatti without Pariyatti. So Pariyatti doesn't mean only listening to the word, but to understand reality which Buddha had enlightened. That's why he taught us that anyone who listens to his teaching can be Savaka, who can follow the teachings. That's why there were many Sangha, Arya Sangha in the Buddha's time, and many lay people too who had attained enlightenment. So it depends on understanding, not depend on other reality. And the right understanding is the leader. Without right understanding, even Sila and Dana before the time of Buddha is not the way to eliminate Kilesa.
I focus on your speaking during the morning, so I found that you mentioned again and again about the right understanding. So we are an ordinary people, Buddhajana. So how can we know exactly which one is right understanding? Though we're not a Sotapatti, we cannot eradicate sort of mithyaditthi or wrong views.
That's why we will not talk about our own experience or our own thinking. Just talk about the words of the Buddha, one word at a time, in order to really understand it. It's so very precious to understand the teachings from enlightenment. For example, consciousness, or the reality which can experience an object, we can understand now like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. These are realities which experiences an object. Whenever it arises, it must experience an object, because it's the tattoo, the element which experiences. It cannot arise without experience anything at all, even at moment of birth, and even at moment of death, and at moment of bhavanga, life continuum. From birth up to now, it's only the succession of that which experiences. Even if there one moment missing, there's no life. It means that there must be the reality which experiences all the time, one at a time. Like now, one at a time. It doesn't mean that we talk about that which is not this moment, but we are talking about that which appears to understand the teachings of the Buddha. Because he said, what is the reality that should be understood? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, and also the objects of all these moments too. Because this is life.
As you know, we know what we're seeing, we're hearing. This is a short of perception.
Just talk about seeing itself. Seeing sees what? Seeing sees that which can impinge on the eye. Seeing cannot see beyond that. Because actually that which is seen arises and falls away very rapidly. What is left is the sign of that which is seen as different shape and form, which is nimitta. It arises and falls away so very rapidly that it seems like whenever they're seeing, it sees nimitta. But actually, it's the rapidity of the arising and falling away of both seeing and that which is seen, even right now. So only Panya of the Buddha, who had accumulated great parami, could penetrate the truth and taught people to understand the anattaness of realities in order to develop right understanding little by little, to be satyayana, very firm confidence in whatever is appearing according to the teaching that it's not permanent at all. Whatever arises falls away. That's why his teaching is all about anatta, not atta, never atta. So right understanding, understanding the anattaness, and wrong understanding takes it for I, someone and something. Wrong understanding is ajetasika, and right understanding is another jetasika. Like attachment and ignorance cannot understand anything. Only panya, right understanding, can. So now reality appears to ignorance and attachment unknowingly, because they cannot understand whatever appears. But panya, from hearing, considering, beginning to see the difference between avicca and vicca.
The reset of our mind is quite fast, quicker than we thought. And from what I learned from our reset of mind, I found that we are under control by the sort of reset of mind. When we perceive something, it comes to the conception right away. So what we know, what we see, are under our conceptions. So according to you, we have to know things without attachment. But this sort of attachment, how can we stay away
not
from it?
Not at one's will, but by the development of right understanding from hearing, considering, which is the intellectual understanding. If it's not enough, it is like this moment. We are thinking about the arising and falling away of whatever appears, but it's not the moment of realizing, penetrating the true nature of realities yet, because not enough understanding of what appears now. For those who have accumulated lots of understanding at any time, any moment, any place, any object, there are conditions for sati, sammasati, and sammasthiti to arise by conditions. Everyone would like so much to have right understanding and right awareness, but it cannot arise at will. It has to begin with detachment from clinging as I want to experience it. How can I experience? This is attachment and ignorance, not the understanding that it needs great patience, the parami, and truthfulness and resolution to know that what did Buddha enlighten? If he didn't enlighten the true nature of whatever appears now, what's the use of becoming enlightened to be Buddha?
According to what you say, by understanding, we have to see, we have to hear, we have to experience things.
And it's not I, it's Panya which begins to understand.
With Panya is, but this is, I feel like it's like we try to control our knowing.
At moment of hearing the teachings, the self is there, just wanting, and attachment is there, trying, but it's not the understanding. So the opposite of ignorance and attachment must be right understanding only. Ignorance cannot understand anything around here at this moment at all. But from hearing, Buddha enlightened these realities. So he taught those to have confidence in developing understanding, because only understanding can become detached little by little from wanting, wishing to do or to have whatever one likes.
So by your experience, so how you carry your panya on the times?
No one carry, no you at all, because realities arise and fall away, even right understanding. That's why bhavana is the development from none at all to begin to arise, and then more often until it is developed to the degree that there can be moment of direct understanding of whatever appears, while only intellectual just understand the story about seeing, hearing and realities, but not the direct understanding of reality. For example, now hardness appear at moment of touching, right? Who knows that it's not a table, it's not my hand, but it's only a reality, a khanda, an ayatana, or a tattoo, or ariyasaccha, dukkha ariyasaccha, which means the arising and falling away of this. That's why having heard about right understanding which can penetrate the true nature of reality, attachment and ignorance is there, trying to have it. But that is attachment, not detachment from clinging to wanting to experiencing it. So many traps of attachment. That's why life keeping on in samsara because of attachment.
By experience day by day, I found that through my inner mind, I found that everything just the panya only occur after
that's
something
done. That's why I think that while we listen to the teachings of the Buddha, we don't think about ourselves, our idea, or anyone's idea. Just listen to what the Buddha taught, because each word will bring about right understanding. For example, sila, see, the understanding begins with what is it? What is it? It's not that I would like, or he told me to observe this and that. That's not the teaching. Buddha didn't tell anyone to do anything, but he taught, he explained the truth of everything for right understanding to see it. That's why when there's more and more right understanding leads to more and more kusala. So we begin with what is it? What is it? In order to know that Buddha taught about that completely in all aspects, so that there can be understanding more and less ignorance and less thinking by oneself. For example, we heard about sila. What is sila? See, if there is no understanding, we just take for granted that we understand what sila is. What is dana? See, there is reality which is dana, not self. So it is alopa cetasika. And sila is adosa cetasika. Who can condition cetasikas? They are conditioned. But right understanding begin to understand what is meant by Dhamma, no self, no one, anatta. If one keeps on the track the right way, no self, no one, there are different realities. That understanding will bring more and more closer to have direct awareness with direct understanding of whatever is now appearing, and that is patipatti. So one can understand the difference between pariyatti and patipatti. When there is no hearing of the teachings at all, there is the idea I'm touching something all the time, right? And after hearing that, what is touched is only hardness or softness, heat or cold. That is not enough, because from hearing that, there is nothing there at all. Only that which experiences and that which is experienced. This is different from the world that is mixed with many, many things, appear like there are so many things now. But actually, one citta arrives in a moment. If that citta hasn't completely fallen away, there can never be the next moment. So one can see that even that reality, the faculty of experiences, if it hasn't fallen away, the other cetasik, the other moment cannot arise. So that particular citta has the anandrapachya, which means after it has fallen away, it conditioned the next one instantly, no gap at all. And samanantara pachaya. So this is the way we learn to understand the conditions for everything which now appears, so that there will be more and more understanding of no self, who can do anything at all.
So according to your experience, what is the criterion for right understanding and misunderstanding?
So I think that before understanding the teachings, there are so many ideas. Who were they? Who am I? And who's the enlightened one? It takes how long for him to develop right understanding and parami in order to be great teacher, to teach in details so much that it can condition right understanding more and more until it can condition patipatti. Each reality must have conditions for its arising. It doesn't mean that not knowing anything at all, just having heard only names and then follow it with the idea that it's that, but actually each word needs studying carefully, respectfully. Even sila, kusala sila, akusala sila, apayagata sila. Sila before the teachings from him, and sila after having the three gems as one's own refuge, is different. Because at moment of not hearing or understanding anything at all, people just have the idea of, I would like to observe sila for my own sake. But after knowing what sila is, it's wholesome cetasika. If it does not arise, the akusala cetasika arises. That's why in one's life, one begins not to neglect any moment of kusala. Even if so very little, just be kind, compassionate, helpful. See, each moment, even just clear or clean what is there in the bathroom in hotel, see? So right understanding lead to more and more kusala, because seeing the danger of akusala. But for the person who doesn't have any understanding at all, just want to be calm. What is calm? I or what? Not knowing anything at all, different from those who had the understanding at level of seeing the danger of akusala all day, not any moment left, like seeing now, who knows that there is asava, the kilesa is ready to arise, after seeing consciousness only 3 moments, and from hearing more about the teachings of the Buddha, like the functions of realities, each citta arises and performs its function and then completely gone. Seeing consciousness is chakkhu vijnana, because there are many cetasikas, 89 types in short. See, but why there is the word chakkhu vijnana to indicate that without chakkhu, this vijnana cannot arise at all. So it cannot be I see, it cannot be I can do, like other reality, like peace, it's not I can do. But the more there is the understanding, at moment, peace develops. Because any moment of kusala, there is the sopana cetasika, kaya parsati, and citta parsati.
You just mentioned about the wholesome moment. We try to live as much as wholesome moment as we can.
By understanding that if there is no kusala, it is akusala.
And what if unwholesome factor arise to us unintentionally? What if?
All the time.
We have to discard it. We have to...
No, we who can do anything, just having Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, and Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, not one's own gacchāmi, or the teacher's gacchāmi, only Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Not all Dhamma can be refused, only the Bodhipakkhya Dhamma. See, that's why we have to learn that from hearing more and more, we have more confidence on the refuge until it becomes satyayana. It has to be this moment, because previous moment cannot bring any understanding, it's completely gone, and the next moment hasn't come yet. Who would know the next moment would be? See, this moment is next of the previous moment. And today and this life would be yesterday and previous life of next life. So the best moment in each life is moment of understanding the truth of whatever is there. From hearing the right words and right understanding of each word, to become detached from the idea of self and ignorance. As long as there is the idea of self, no matter it's kusala or akusala, it will bring about the result in this plane or other planes. The cycle of birth and death continue on, non-stop. Just no one, only seeing arises and never again. Hearing now has fallen away, never to rise again. Only once in samsara of each reality. And who knows that there is no one, no self at all? Only the teachings which taught us even Dhamma by way of so many kinds of Dhamma, but anyway there are only 2 categories. One is that which cannot experience anything at all, and the other is so very important. Without that which can experience, there wouldn't be anything appearing at all. No life, no world. So the world of the Buddha's teaching is moment of seeing. It brings about idea of people and things and situation, attachment, aversion, on and on and on, together with hearing, see, not understanding the source of the world of trouble. People try to solve trouble, but with ignorance, it would be more and more trouble. And no one at all, only living alone, born alone, die alone, see alone, think alone, like alone, dislike alone, see, all alone, not permanent. even alone at that moment, is no body, no one. Only a single moment of reality arising by conditions.
Thank you.
And this will bring more and more to be direct awareness and direct understanding, which is Vipassana Bhavana, because Bhavana means development, but not by anyone, but right understanding develops. Until by then one knows how come to be such and such understanding. If there is no understanding from intellectual understanding enough, it's impossible.
I would like to have a question. You normally say that Panya knows, right understanding knows, but Panya is a cetasika,
right.
And the function of a cetasika is not to know. Chitta is to know, to cognize.
So we have to understand the difference between chitta and cetasikas. Chitta is the faculty of experiences the object. It does not lie. It does not remember. It does not understand. So besides the faculty of experiencing, all are cetasikas, including panya. So panya knows, cetasikas knows, and chitta knows differently. Chitta now sees, but it's not the contact cetasika, not parsa, not vedana, not sanya, not jetana, not ekakata, not chivintitra, not manasikara. These other things are cetasika. But chitta is the faculty. Whenever it arises, it experiences with other cetasikas. So there are so many types of chitta, by different cetasikas and by other conditions too. Like when it's conditioned by karma, that citta must be vipaka. Also all cetasikas arising with it is conditioned by the same karma. So they arise together by being vipaka paccaya. Citta is vipaka paccaya for cetasika, vipaka cetasika to arise. And vipaka cetasika condition vipaka citta to arise by way of being vipaka to arise together by karma. So who's there? No one. Just a moment of arising and falling away. If there is no understanding at all, it can never be neither samatha bhavana or vipassana bhavana at all. It's only the word, but not the fact, not the truth.
So when you hear Ajahn speaking more about dharmas, about, for example, the distinction between citta and cetasika, and about the distinction between seeing consciousness and visible object, so that it becomes clearer and clearer that no one who can destroy akusala, no one who can carry panya, no one who can control knowing. Can this understanding of different dharmas be the criteria for right understanding to develop? Because your question was, what are the criteria for right understanding? And what Ajahn is explaining is that the criteria for right understanding is now, beginning to understand a little more clearly that there are only those dharmas that experience an object, cittas and cetasikas, and rupas can only be experienced, cannot experience anything at all. So apart from cittas, cetasikas and rupas, nothing else in life, no person, no thing, no one who can do anything. So the development of panya means the lessening of ignorance. And it's through ignorance and wrong understanding that usually it seems that I can know, or I can stop akusala arising, or I can control life. So the condition for understanding as taught by the Buddha is hearing the teachings, hearing about various truths and dharmas, and considering very carefully about what those dharmas are. So that's why we're here now, to consider carefully about what life really is at this moment. And this is the condition for punya to develop, not thinking about another occasion, another place, or the forest, or the quiet cushion, or having less distractions. It's about beginning to understand that which is conditioned at this very moment. Do you agree?
I'm still confused about the way you say without I. You say about what we see, what we know, and we should know without I, without the ego. So what I feel like what we experience now is just under control of what, or of the ego. We cannot, we can take it out, stay away from being away from our ego, the atta. I did not mean about the soul, but about the rough spin, the upadana in our mind. What we're feeling, what we, by the tanha, and we will grasping what we're knowing immediately at the cause and effect. Even when you see that, you can, when you experience what you feel, you see, you can feel that.
That's why we do not talk about anyone's idea, yeah, but the words of the teachings of the Buddha. If there is the idea of there is the I somewhere, sometime, is seeing I, is hearing I, is thinking I, is the rupa I or mine? See? So it doesn't matter who is thinking like this or that, but what is the teachings about understanding from his word about realities, to begin to understand realities as they are, not as I.
Thank you.
I was just by chance reading the commentary of Satipatthana. And this part, you might not like it. This part, it comments about the phrase that the bhikkhu who has gone to the forest or to an empty place and sit down, cross legs, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that bit. Okay, so basically the commentary gave a simile, like a wild animal is used to attach to sensual objects, so that every time that he tried, it's quite long, so I just kind of abridge it, to meditate, then, you know, he would be disturbed by the sensual objects. So, township and village and neighborhood is not a suitable place for meditator. So that's why the Buddha, the Blessed One, spoke of the word, gone to the forest and gone forth. Does that signify that the Buddha agrees with the practice of bhikkhu, goes to the forest and sit down and trying to close their eyes and practice something?
Can a baby meditate?
Sorry?
Can a baby meditate?
Meditate?
Meditate.
Meditate.
Yeah.
A baby. Well, it depends on what we mean by meditating. But if we define meditation as sitting, obviously the baby cannot sit, so he cannot, you know, have that posture, yes.
Without understanding, can the place bring about right understanding?
Sorry?
Without understanding, can the place condition right understanding? So if you follow the word, it means like go to the place and then the place condition peace or right understanding.
Oh no, it said that because that the meditator is dwelled on the visual objects and does not like to enter the road of meditation, just like a wild young bull trying to get off the road. So that's why you know, a bhikkhu
is advised that the crowded place is not suitable for meditation. So if he does so, his mind will jump and jump and cannot, you know.
And who's the advisor?
Sorry?
Who is the advisor?
Advisor in what sense?
Yeah.
Well, this is the Blessed One. According to the commentary, the Blessed One pointing out the abode suitable for that. That means that meditation. So, because in a place not becoming a township, it is easy for meditator to lay hold of this subject of meditation. The Blessed One pointing out the abode of suitable for that, he spoke of the wood, gone to the forest, and go forth, and so forth.
Nothing to do with understanding at all.
Many other things,
it doesn't matter,
yeah,
because all the teachings must conform, right?
Yeah.
No matter it's Vinaya, Sutta, and Abhidhamma. So without understanding at all, what's the use of going there?
Yes, but the Buddha never say anything that unnecessary,
he
right?
He taught for 45 years. What is the most precious moment? There is seeing. There is no understanding of seeing. And there is seeing, and there's begin to understand seeing as seeing yourself. Is that not the teaching? No matter where and when.
So during the Buddha time, that the monks have daily practice of meditation, and then if that's a useless thing, then the Buddha should say that, you know, everyone should stop practicing that.
No practicing like the others, teachers practicing at all. Very natural. Going Pindapada and discussion and listening to the teachings of the Buddha, helping the others, sweeping the floor and so on. Very daily life. Because life...
And meditation.
What do you mean by meditation?
Sitting and closing eyes.
That is unnatural.
Then this is what people did during the Buddha time, including the Buddha himself. Even he was an enlightened one, but he just went into deep meditation and arise and start talking to people and then back to meditation.
Yeah. Many people follow his manners, his manners only. But what about one's own understanding? Sariputta didn't follow. Moggallana didn't, and the other monks followed the Buddha just to hear the teachings, to develop teachings. At any time when Buddha would teach, he would say, monk, or in Pali, what you call, pick away. See, to listen to his teachings. Because if he didn't say, pick away, some might think about the other thing and not knowing what he's going to say. But by saying, pick away now, it means listen to me.
Yeah, of course, because the sutta only describe about the Buddha. The sutta doesn't have space to describe everybody's practice. And then it's a dialogue of the Buddha, so it must, you know, draw attention. But we don't have other texts describing the monk's daily life, you know. But we know for a fact that the Buddhas and many other bhikkhus practice sitting meditation and walking meditation.
If we don't talk about sitting meditation, walking meditation at all, just about understanding what should be or what would be or what really is the teachings of the Buddha, to understand or to walk or to sit.
According to this passage, that the Buddha gave instruction that this is what you do. Just and then you contemplate on four foundations of mindfulness.
Excuse me, did Buddha tell anything to go somewhere?
Yes, according to this exactly
having gone to
Aranyagato, and then you know it's in it's the past participle,
because
the
this is not having gone, this is a
yes,
past participle
according to Pali satipatthana.
Yeah,
pasati.
Yeah, this is not a gerund, this is not this is like dva, not dva, but gatto, very clear, those who.
But this
yeah.
is part of the description of
yeah.
the bhikkhu.
Yeah.
So this is the bhikkhu who is developing samatha. The Buddha is going to teach that bhikkhu about the development of awareness and understanding, or is describing how that bhikkhu can develop awareness and understanding.
I'm sure if it's the wrong practice, the Buddha would have negated it in the first place.
The development of samatha, kusala, cannot be wrong practice.
Yes, so going to a quiet forest is not a wrong practice.
Well, no one said going to a forest is wrong practice.
Mm.
But this bhikkhu is already gone to the forest.
Mm.
That's the point.
So he still has the opportunity, like any of us, who can develop understanding.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. But this is a bhikkhu who has gone to the forest
yeah.
already.
Yeah.
He has developed samatha to that degree because
yeah.
he was able to sit down with his legs crossed and his back erect with mindfulness to the fore and he was able to observe the rising and falling of the breath. That's already in the past, as it were. He comes, we are starting with that person.
So I think there's nothing wrong with doing that, right? Because with many occasions, if people bring wrong views, like Brahmins and all those and householders, they come with wrong view, the Buddha refuted right in the first place, and here is the right thing to do. That's what the Buddha would normally approach a wrong practice.
I'll just make one more comment before Ajahn continues. The Buddha is not saying that this is what we should do. He is saying, here is a monk who is already developing samatha, has already developed samatha and awareness to a certain degree.
But
so for this monk,
never say anything we should do, but he would always say we should not. But the do is maybe, if you do this, you get this. But you do this, you get that. But the Buddha never forced people to do anything. But he would say don't, if it's wrong. For sure. Yeah.
It's not wrong.
Yeah. If this is wrong, he would say, don't do that. But he said, acknowledge. Okay, if you do this, then do like this. Like people say that I'm a Brahmin. I'm an enlightened one. The Buddha said, okay, you can be a Brahmin, but according to my teaching, this is a Brahmin. The Brahmin who abandons killing and stealing, not born from the Brahmin's mouth. So the Buddha acknowledged even Brahmin's practice, but he said, okay, this is the correct understanding of Brahmin. So the same like this, if the Buddha needs to correct the practice, he would have said it explicitly, I think. And I think we just second guessing the Buddha. If we negate the idea of recluse meditation. Yeah.
We're talking about samatha.
Yes. Four foundations of mindfulness.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the monk
who has
already developed samatha.
Oh, I don't even think, that's our guess too. I don't know. This doesn't say here that the monks, this is your guess. There's no information here that this is for the one that developed samatha. It's just a bhikkhu who has gone to the forest. That's all we know. And
there's a bit more. He sat down with his legs crossed, mindfulness to the fore, mindful of breathing in and breathing out. That's all someone who has understanding already.
Well, but that doesn't imply that this is the samatha practice that the Buddha said the disciples,
In other suttas, like you say, if someone who hadn't already developed samatha with kusala cittas. If, for example, when his attendant said, "Oh, I really want to go into the mango grove and sit cross-legged and concentrate, and then there'll be more understanding," and the Buddha said three times, "Don't go, don't go." And then he went, and what happened? He was overwhelmed with fear and terror because it was totally unsuitable, the first udana. So totally unsuitable, because if there's no understanding and one just goes to the forest and sits cross legs and focuses on breath or a pen or any other object with no understanding, no calm will arise, no understanding of any kind will develop. So the Buddha could understand each one's accumulations. Anathapindika, he never said to Anathapindika, "Oh, instead of giving all these offerings and being so kind and helpful, you better go to the forest and sit cross-legged and close your eyes." Never. So, as Jonathan said, it makes it clear that in this case, this bhikkhu has already mindfulness and calm with breath of the object is already there. That is his daily life. Or Anathapindika, making great donations and helping the monks, this was his daily life. For us, this is our daily life. So the teachings are not dependent on a particular daily life. They are about the four noble truths, about the five khandhas which arise and fall away no matter the lifestyle. And the whole purpose, as Ajahn was stressing, is to really understand no one who can do anything. And in other suttas, the Buddha made it very clear that that the disturbance is the kalesa, the akusala is the real disturbance. And like in the Migala Sutta, he talks about how one can live in a forest, but if one is just overwhelmed with lobha and dosa, no calm, totally disturbed, whereas one can be in the middle of the village and around people in a crowded place, but if there are moments of kusala, moments of understanding, one is not disturbed. The citta is calm at that moment. So it comes down to the understanding. And if one thinks about copying a lifestyle and thinks that the lifestyle is the way to develop understanding, you were talking earlier about, oh, we're not talking about rites and rituals like sacrifice, but this is a ritual. If we think, like if I started wearing the same clothes as Ajahn in order to have her understanding or her own, lived in the same place or thought I should eat the same kind of food, this would be silabhata paramasa, wrong practice, looking at the circumstance or the situation rather than beginning to know what is real at this very moment. I think about what is this? No, I'm talking about, as Jonathan has said, here these are people who have understanding already of the object of calm. But if we were to think, oh, we better go to the cemetery, and if we think a lot about corpses, there will be right understanding, this would be silabhata paramasa. Or if I think that I better live the same way as the abbot of the temple, this would be silabhata paramasa. If one is following a particular behavior with the idea that I can do, I can concentrate, I can understand, this is silabhata paramasa. This is a description of the lifestyle of those bhikkhus who already were living this way.
According to the phrases, I don't seem like the monk. It's the beginning of the practice. It does not mean like he has developed the samadhi or good concentration. I don't know, according to the Satipatthana Sutta, this is like Aranya Gatova, Rukkamula Gatova, Sunyagara Gatova. So all this is...
is having gone, so they start to practice. So I don't feel that they already developed the samadhi according to those phases. So I don't
how could a person set mindfulness to the fore and be mindful of in and out breaths unless they had developed samatha already? Otherwise it wouldn't be kusala, would it? Because person can't just go and sit down and set mindfulness to the fore and be mindful of in-breaths and out-breaths.
But of course they will learn those techniques. Because
they've learned it already. That's not a technique. They have that level of development already.
Like in the case of Karaniya Metta Sutta, we can see the Buddha taught the Karaniya Metta Sutta how to do. So I think in another sutta also, I can't specify the Buddha give some kind of instruction. Then after that, they go to the forest and practice. So within 3 months, they practice and they finish the job. So this is normally in the sutta, how we can find in the Tipitaka literature. I don't know how you say.
If it's so simple, why didn't he just tell everyone, okay, just go to the forest for 3 months? Job is done.
No, it's not. I don't mean all.
Because the Buddha has got lots of teaching, but you say that the Buddha just saying that seeing, and the rest is useless. And that's why we find it a bit difficult to understand.
Not the rest is useless.
There are many other things that the Buddha also taught.
He encouraged all kinds of kusala.
Yeah.
But he encouraged, above all, for those who could appreciate it, encouraged the development of understanding of dhammas.
If it's only reading some part of the sutta or vinaya or abhidhamma, some like going here or there and so forth, what about the understanding?
It has to begin with reading and knowing.
Before doing anything, right?
That's why we're trying to read. And then I think
This is an opportunity because we discuss the Dhamma. That's why we bring up our perspective and we would like to hear the elaboration from you. Since, for many years, that many monks and many even enlightened ones that we know they have...
The enlightened one?
Yes. It practiced...
Many?
Yes. Well, at least that no one can claim that I am an enlightened one. I mean, not the Buddha only, but many other
monks. You mean these days?
Yeah, these days.
The enlightened one?
Yes, there are many enlightened people, arahants.
What that person teach about?
Like Achan Mun is said to be an arahant. Do you agree?
He died now or he's still alive?
He's dead.
He's dead.
He's a teacher of Achan Cha from
Thailand. It doesn't matter. But did he ever say, I was or I am the enlightened one, the arahant?
No. But no one is supposed to say that.
How can you know?
But according to the disciples and the acknowledged of the people...
So disciples know better. Because
this is the only way. Only the Buddha claimed he's an enlightened one.
But you said that such and such person were enlightened and his disciples knew about that. So it's the words of his disciples who said that he's... had enlightened, is that right?
Not the word, but the veneration, the respect. They would normally say that I have a learned teacher and I believe that he's an enlightened one, so I follow his teaching, something like that. Like Achan Cha really acknowledged him, yeah.
Apatti Parachika.
Yes.
And I think the important thing here is that we need to consider the Buddha's words, not look at what other people have done or are believed to have done. That is no guidance for anyone. We look at the Buddha's teaching and those who are known to have been enlightened at that time.
If there is no understanding of right awareness and right understanding at all, can you say that at this moment the person is aware? Satipatthana?
No one can tell.
So the person who can tell is the person who has attained such understanding. So the person, his disciples, who said he was, must have attained enlightenment.
Maybe Ajahn
Chah
was
maybe
we don't know.
Because I'm telling some names that may be familiar to Thai people, but also that lots of people believe that Lady Sayadaw was an enlightened one, or many people believe that Mahasi Sayadaw was an enlightened one, Magok Sayadaw. So we don't know.
How does this help anything?
Sorry?
How does this help anything? Because we're trying to understand the teaching,
the
words of the Buddha, the actual words of the Buddha.
If we sit here and discuss, and then if anybody could sit up and say, I am an enlightened one, and then probably would have lots of credential. But if it doesn't say so, then that means it's not reliable. Okay? So only we're trying to interpret the Buddha's word through our own understanding. So, but as a learner, we have to also be open to investigate the source of information, at least that many people saying that Mogok Siyadaw may be an enlightened one, then I try to learn from him. So it's a common, sensible thing to do, isn't it?
It's similar to saying, as we were discussing earlier, well, the Buddha sat to become enlightened, as though that means that this is the way to enlightenment. But he didn't teach. It's a question of what he taught, right? Not what he did or what we think he did. Because we don't know, no one knows the mental state or the background for the person who's doing the act.
Did anyone get understanding from his teachings?
Yes, I guess.
What did he teach about?
He taught a lot, according to my study. And then understanding realities as they are is just for those who have enough accumulation and panya. But for those who just have the habit of making donation, then he would teach differently. Only those that there's certain people with certain ability, but for this kind of analytical approach, it's very difficult for those who does nothing during their life except donating to monks, and then they will get certain fruits, and then from that accumulation, maybe they get enlightened, and there were occasions that people got enlightened without knowing all the analysis that we're talking about. Yeah.
I think that we are being led astray because we are talking about situations and people. But if we agree that awareness and understanding doesn't depend on situations, and it's not someone, anyone, but only realities, then we should not discuss about that, but whether we discuss about what is the realities that
can be... That's exactly our problem, because when we cannot solve a situational issue, we use paramattha dhamma. It's so easy to say that dhammas as they are, that citta, cetasika, we can read it from the book. But can we relate it to daily life? It is why we're here. Otherwise, we can just read the book. We know everything.
Are you sure?
So we really have to know the situation that, this is the paramattha dhamma working, and this is how it relates to daily life. And that's exactly, I think, what's missing here. Every time a situation is brought up, and then we cannot solve, and then we will use paramattha dhammas, right understanding. I mean, because Ajahn is so experienced, and every word of her, we understand very well. But let's say Ajahn is not here, I will stand up and say, we have four types of paramattha dhammas, and seeing... Chakku vinyana, I can explain like that. Exactly like that. But it doesn't make no sense, doesn't help to anybody. That's why we need learned teachers like Achan and Nina to elaborate. And we really need to ask them how to relate all this theory into daily life. And we must get through it. We cannot ignore the daily life. That's why we're here. Otherwise, we can learn it from many other teachers. Only Nina and Achan write about and speak about applying Abhidhamma and Dhamma in daily life. That's why we're here. So I think we should carry on and talk about daily life rather than going to all the concepts that we can get from the books anywhere.
But we must have very clear and thorough understanding of the path represented in the Dhamma terms, right? As long as it's not clear, then we can mix up. You talk about Aparamatta terms and we mean something else that are not, or that were not taught by the Buddha. And then you explain the conventional realities in the, based on that wrong understanding, that it can never get solved. So I think first we need to focus on having the path that the Buddha taught very clearly in ultimate realities. Then you can, once it's very clear and very thorough, then you can talk about what that means in conventional terms.
I think we're going the wrong way. The Buddha taught for 45 years in conventional ways, and only until the third council, the Abhidhamma came out, analysis and things came out. Okay, and that's the Theravada interpretation of early Buddhism. So if you say that we should understand Paramattha Dhamma before we understand the conventional teaching, I think is wrong.
Let's talk about daily life now. Let's talk about your daily life, because you're not living in the forest. You're living a lay life. You have a wife and a son. So at the moment of waking up, so we all know when in deep sleep they're just bawanga cheetahs, and while dreaming just thinking about concepts, and then waking up, and what is your daily life when waking up?
I don't know, wake up and eat breakfast and
right.
Doing things, yeah.
And when waking up before eating breakfast, what kind of cheetahs are they usually?
Conscious.
Just usually just seeing, hearing, and so on, touching, attachment to what's seen and heard.
Definitely.
Thinking about your wife, your son, what you have to do, thinking about many, many things, and then eating, preparing breakfast, eating breakfast, and what kind of cheetahs are there whilst preparing breakfast, eating breakfast, seeing, hearing, and so on. Thinking about the food, thinking about your college studies, thinking wisely, thinking unwisely, different kinds of thinking, right? And then whilst eating your breakfast, what occurs? Just thinking and tasting and cheetahs, conditioning, bodily movements, and so on. Just ordinary daily life. Actually, in another part of the Satipatthana Sutta, just as explained, eating, going to the washroom, normal daily activities, and then driving to the college, more seeing, more hearing, more thinking, just daily life, very, very ordinary. So the point of the teachings, I think, is we all have different kinds of ways of life. The life of the bhikkhu is different from the lay person. But still, even for the bhikkhu, it's waking up, seeing, hearing, smelling, attachment to seeing, thinking about food, moments of wise consideration, moments of unwise consideration. So the point is, no matter what the lifestyle, whether in the forest or in your home or in the temple, there are just very ordinary kinds of realities. And when we're talking about being aware of seeing and hearing and so on, it's not different from how it is anyway. This is how it is anyway. The only difference is that actually this is how it is, moments of seeing, hearing and thinking. No self, no utter there at all. But normally it's taken. We think it's I see, I hear, I prepare the lunch. And when there's development of understanding, the lifestyle, the daily life is just the same. We laugh, we joke, we have akusala cittas arising, a few moments of wise consideration. But the only difference is moments of understanding and moments of awareness begin to slip in because of having heard and considered about the teachings, not because I'm trying to concentrate or focus or I have an idea that it must be breath as the object. No, because that is moments of wrong practice, thinking of selecting a particular object. But while going through one's normal daily life, there has been some considering. There is some considering, because even now, like after the discussion, you'll go away, there'll be discussion, consideration about how really it is just hardness touched, really is just sound heard. So it's not a matter of focusing on sound or focusing on hardness or focusing on breath or any other object, but just living normally, lack naturally, sweeping the floor, performing one's duties, paying respect, and nothing to be done because no self that can do anything. So just let sati and understanding perform their own functions by conditions. And when there is firm enough confidence that understanding and awareness really can develop naturally, then they will, for sure. And they will condition direct understanding. But whenever there's an idea of I should do something else or I should focus, it makes the job of sati and panya much more difficult, because it takes one on the wrong path. It hinders the development. So it's not only not right, but it really hinders the development of understanding, because it's I trying to do all the time.
So what is the difference between those who never heard the teaching of the Buddha and those who knows what we're talking about? Like he sweep, he doesn't think,
So life from the outward
appearance. So is it like, you know, suppose I never know all this, so I would just do my daily life and I'm absolutely not aware of anything. Right. Not, I didn't have an idea either self or selfless. I don't even know the difference. I'm absolutely ignorant. And those that who have some understanding and try to have some awareness, then they're both useless.
Let's talk about three cases. So yeah, the outer appearance may be exactly the same. We're not talking about the situation or the outer appearance. Let's talk about the Fong, who has no interest in the Buddha's teachings, but just gets up, seeing, hearing, smelling, attachment to seeing, thinking about cooking, having lunch, a lot more attachment, maybe some moments of kusala, moments of taking care of your son, moments of paying respect, moments, but nothing is known about them because there's no understanding, no interest, but just naturally arising kusala, eating your breakfast, going to your work or study, just carrying on life quite happily in complete ignorance.
I think that's very easy.
We'll
get enlightened someday.
No, impossible to get enlightened, because no understanding is developed. Impossible. No pariyatti, so never will be any enlightenment. But quite happy
in ignorance. Doesn't try to understand the Dhamma. That's a good thing about him. We try so much because we know the Dhamma and we try to gain attainment. But he doesn't care, so probably he will get enlightened faster than us.
Well, let's not talk about enlightenment. The only good thing about living in happy ignorance is there isn't wrong practice and wrong view arising, because he's not trying to do something, he's not focusing on the pen or anything else. And then the second Fong gets up in just the same way, but this Fong has heard that he really should sit on the cushion and concentrate on the breath and try to get enlightened and try to be aware. And the self-view manifests very strongly, leading to wrong practices. This is the second one, much more dangerous than the first one. And then the third one is the Fong, who has heard quite a lot about realities and has confidence in the path taught by the Buddha of dharmas as anatta, beyond anyone's control. So gets up, attachment seeing, just like normal, moments of kusala, moments of akusala, prepares breakfast just as normal. No difference in the outer appearance from the first case. The only difference is that unknown to anyone else, unknown to followers or other teachers, moments of awareness and understanding slip in, just like now mostly attachments slip in, but moments of awareness and understanding slip in. But because there is understanding that dharma's beyond control, there's no counting how much awareness or how much understanding. There's no expectation of will there be more. There's no trying to make it happen. So this one can live very happily, easily, follow his normal interests, normal lifestyle, confident that dharmas are anatta and no one can make satya arise, no one can make understanding arise, and that life just exists at this very moment. So there's no point in thinking about how it might be better in the forest or how it might be better in a different place, because there is firm understanding that life is just this moment of seeing now, just this moment of hearing now. So if there's no awareness now, what's the point of thinking of another time or place?
So according to that, then why did the Buddha encourage brahmacharya so much? What is the point of wearing the robe? What is the point of living a celibacy life if it's the same like us?
Yes, of course we lead our daily life, bhikkhus and lay people, but also we know that we have such a lot of ignorance of dhammas, and that we need to listen a lot and consider a lot in the meantime in daily life as far as conditions allow, because it is different for some people and other people have less time, but still some listening is really important, that we have an opportunity to listen to the Dhamma and discuss Dhamma and consider it, and this will go along and work its way in the middle of daily life, no matter what we have to do or our obligations. So that is also an important point, to realize how ignorant one is and that one really needs to listen a lot to the Dhamma.
Yeah, I'm sure that our ignorance and the monks' ignorance are a lot the same, but the Buddha actually encouraged a simple life, you know, having less sensual objects around, you know, then there is a reason for living living in renunciation. And what is your point on that?
I think the Buddha praised the bhikkhu's life if it could be lived well. The bhikkhu's life well lived is a higher degree of purity than the lay life. For those who can live the bhikkhu's life, that is a great support for
our discussion. Here is useless, but because he would have seeing and touching exactly the same. If he doesn't contemplate on the Dhamma, this
is the same. Yes, but if he's living among other monks who are similarly minded, then there is a lot of encouragement and support for the development of mindfulness in a day, because he's able to hear. He has surrounded by the good friends in the bhikkhu life.
I think he's surrounded by many other monks who meditate in a quiet place, so he might just do the same thing. If he does something differently, probably the teacher will scold him.
Not all monks.
His lazy monk. Yeah.
Not all monks went off into the forest. Monks filled many roles in monasteries. There's no stereotypical What the Buddha praised was the bhikkhu life, and not specifically the monk who lived it this way or that way. Because the bhikkhu life, if it's properly lived, observes those precepts and has that support for development of insight.
So I'm just worried, like, now in Myanmar, if you go to Myanmar, you see countless meditation centers, and there are people sitting for 10, 12 hours a day. And then if they come to hear us, and then we seem to say that all you're doing is absolutely useless. You and your teacher and your tradition is absolutely useless. So stop doing that. Yeah, I think that's a bit a big statement to make. Yeah.
And what is the truth?
The truth as spoken by the Buddha.
You mean?
We listen to the teachings because without his teaching, who can understand the truth of reality? So it's not limited to certain life, like monk or lay people at all. So if we just talk about the Satipatthana, because many people are so very interested in Satipatthana, but just read without any understanding. For example, can this moment be object of Satipatthana? No? Yes?
Maybe I misunderstood your question. Without the understanding?
We are talking about understanding.
Okay.
Because no matter monk or lay people who listen to the teachings for understanding, that which we cannot understand by ourselves at all or from anyone else at all. So my question is whether this moment, reality now, can it be object of Satipatthana?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, first.
Okay, yes, first. Yes.
Yes. But is it now the object of Satipatthana?
Yes, or every moment.
No.
No?
Yes, every moment.
No, not at all. Sorry. Not at all.
She's saying, is it in fact the object of Satipatthana?
What is the object of
the present moment?
Now is a time factor, but the object of...
The first question was, can there be Satipatthana now? Yes. Is there Satipatthana now? Is there object now, the object of Satipatthana? No. Right?
Yes, why not? There are objects everywhere.
Object of ignorance.
Sorry?
Object of ignorance and attachment, not object of right understanding.
Objects are objects, whether we have panya or not, then...
We just talk about this moment in truth.
Because for the same object, but you and me look at the same thing.
Okay.
But then we share the same object, visual
object. No, I didn't talk about this person and that person, this situation or that situation. The question is whether that is Satipatthana of whatever appears.
Yeah, there's a possibility. Yeah.
Possibility.
Yeah.
And what condition that possibility?
Understanding. Yes.
Yes. To what degree?
I don't know. Yeah.
See. Not to think that I can do. Impossible. But only there is more understanding that no one can understand how subtle seeing is, because no one sees only a reality which now is not the object of understanding. That characteristic, that element which arises and see, it's not that which is seen. Quite opposite, see. The world now is the world of objects which citta cetasika experiences from time to time. So it appears as different thing and different people who pay attention and developing the understanding that it's not I who see, but it's the reality which arises with cetasika and experience, whatever appears. So without the understanding of Satipatthana, Satipatthana cannot arise. If one would read anything can be object of satipatthana, but can it without understanding? So there must be understanding from hearing, considering, and it develops. No one can have it higher degree. A baby cannot go up there, but learn to understand little by little from whatever appears. So when we think about forest or special place, what is the understanding? Only the place or what?
Message I just read here, it's just the one of the conditions.
The teachings of the Buddha is not just to read, but to study carefully, and not only one passage, all passages conform. Even the beginning, all dhammas are anatta. So there must be the understanding of dhamma before all, that no one at all, we thought that there were many people from life to life, but from the teachings, there are only realities, conditioned reality, unexpectedly. Who knows what next moment would be, see? And if this moment is satipatthana, it means that there must be right understanding of what satipatthana is and what object of satipatthana now. See, because why do we say that satipatthana is daily life? Because each moment is dhamma, and no one can condition it. If it's not daily life, how can there be the understanding of the accumulation? Even sitting, manner, position is different by conditions. Speaking, talking, thinking, all are conditioned by previous accumulation. That's why, unexpectedly, whatever appears, Panya can understand that as not self, and it's conditioned. So no one can direct sati to be aware of anapana or whatever at all, and that is not sammasati because it's the I.
I would like to answer your question. A place, what does it have to do with understanding? Okay. I think place would be one of the conditions. In Buddhism, condition and a condition is manifold. It's not like one to one, but many conditions. So the Buddha said that we are so lucky to are born here in human realm. Let's say we are born in Peta or up there. So the conditions are not good enough for us to develop understanding. If we are tortured all the time, someone hitting us as a beta, we don't have a proper place to develop understanding. The same thing if we up in the Brahma words, then we just dwell in sensual desires. We don't have interest in knowing the Dhamma. But here we experience suffering, we experience happiness, and then we will start to try to understand. Otherwise, otherwise we will be so unlucky to be up there or down there.
Yeah. No matter how much suffering, with our understanding is useless. Just suffers and suffers without any understanding. So it does not depend on suffering at all, as it does not depend on place. No matter where we are, even among the bhikkhus, without any understanding, it's useless. See? So there can be understanding anywhere, anytime, but there must be wise attention in considering to understand each word. For example, whatever appears now can be object of awareness unexpectedly when there are right and enough conditions for its arising. No selection. For example, just talk about hardness and touching. We touch many, many things from morning up to now. When is right understanding or none? To be truthful, if there is no understanding, it is not satipatthana. But when Satipatthana, right understanding, understand that characteristic which is touched many, many times, but without right awareness because of no right understanding enough, and the moment when it appears to that moment as just a reality, different from before. So the explanation of the characteristic of right awareness is that the object appears well as it is to right awareness and right understanding, because without that it appears as something all the time. So very short and no understanding at all. So in a day, realities arise and fall away without any understanding, until there is the understanding from hearing. And one can see the difference between no hearing of the teachings at all and after hearing the teachings. It doesn't mean that only once is enough to go somewhere and do something, but to really understand that there's no one and no self at all. And this will be condition for patipatti, because with our pariyatti there will never be patipatti. So is there pariyatti enough? This is the point. If it's not, why try? The self, wrong understanding, attachment and ignorance always do their part, not knowing what and what just want to. Like some people would like to concentrate on anapana, but not knowing why, just one. Why not the other object?
I've been asking too much. Sisters, you, Bhante?
Yes. Is that venerable? This topic now covered?
Satipatthana, or whatever, what word of the Buddha concerns right understanding, no matter if sila or dana or whatever, brings about understanding of no self, of realities. Dana is aloba, for example.
So for practicing bodhisattva, for example, so when a person is practicing for bodhisattva, so can it be wholesome or unwholesome? Or, and if it is yes, then what is the difference between the kusala chanda and akusala chanda? So for this, first, I'd like to know.
Yeah, first of all, what is practicing?
Yeah, the dhamma, sila, like.
No, it seems like someone is practicing.
No, right? In the conventional sense.
So what
in the conventional
it?
Sense,
what
we
do you
can
do?
Say.
What do you do? What one is doing while one is practicing? See?
Real understanding the Dhamma.
No, no understanding. Understanding of what? If there is no pariyatti, can there be patipatti?
So that means that you try
so
to
I
deny about the bodhisattva?
I think we misunderstanding the word practice,
okay,
or patipatti or bhavana. Because it's only the development of understanding stage to stage, like from pariyatti to patipatti to pativeda. So all about understanding.
Okay.
Naturally, because this moment is conditioned, it's a dhamma, always dhamma, no one from birth to death. So satipatthana can arise anytime, unexpectedly, to indicate that it's anatta. No one can control its arising. No one can choose or select the object when it arises at all, because it arises, it is aware suddenly, immediately. No one can do anything at all.
But
that is the way to learn to understand that there is no self.
Yeah, I got it, but I don't know. It's really concerned with the bodhisattva practice. And
please tell me, what do you mean by Buddhist practice?
Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva.
What did he do?
Like,
you mean someone is a bodhisattva.
In the ultimate, in the conventional sense, we can say, like, he's practicing, fulfilling all the parami. In the ultimate sense, I don't know, is talking like understanding realizing the Dhamma can say.
Without understanding, can he become enlightened?
No.
Each life, it depends on parami.
Okay.
Like us now, if we understand that there is no me, there is no thing, there are only different realities conditioned, arising and falling away. If it's in one's mind, then whatever one does as usual in daily life, it's common that that is also Dhamma. Attachment is Dhamma, anger is Dhamma, seeing is Dhamma, thinking is Dhamma. Until then, there's no doubt about Dhamma left. And reality appears as it is from stage to stage, which is the Vipassanayana, from the first one on and on, different from intellectual understanding. So one knows that without the development of understanding, how can there be a moment of Satipatthana? And without the moment of Satipatthana on and on, how can there be a moment of insight? Vipassanayana.
But I don't know any other also. I'd like to hear
concerning
my question. Okay.
So, for example, let's talk about one or two paramis, like metta parami. So at a moment of when there is understanding of what metta is, and there is metta, being friendly, helping our friends and colleagues, it is metta parami that is being developed. But if there is no metta now, but I try to practice metta, I try to have metta by sitting quietly in the room, trying to make metta arise. No understanding of metta, no metta arising. So it's just, I want to do, I want to have more metta. Who for? For me. Or let's talk about virya parami. At this moment, there's a beginning of understanding about dharmas that are conditioned. No one can make seeing arise. No one can stop seeing arise. No one can stop attachment arising. If there is a beginning of understanding about dharmas, at this moment, virya parami is beginning to develop as well. Not because I am trying to have it or I am trying to make understanding arise, but very naturally at a moment of wise considering, at a moment of understanding, right virya is beginning to develop. So it has to be very natural. So this is what Ajahn meant when she asked you, what do you mean by practicing as a bodhisattva or practicing the paramis? Because as soon as there's an idea of practicing virya or practicing metta, it's I am doing something to have more virya or to have more metta. It's not the understanding of Dharma now as conditioned and anatta. So the paramis all have to develop together with right understanding, otherwise they're not paramis. And your other question was about kusala and akusala chanda. So now we may have eaten our lunch, we may have felt sleepy, but because there is real interest in hearing and considering more about Dhamma, at those moments of considering and understanding, there is kusala chanda, there is interest in understanding, there is interest in hearing more. At other moments, like there may be a real interest in learning more about atoms, as we discussed this morning, or there may be an interest in really working out some fine detail about Hadeya Vatu, which is really just an academic interest. Okay, common, but akusala chanda at those moments. So interest can be kusala or akusala. Of course, most of the day it's akusala. Or I'm interested to see about the sites in Colombo and how it's changed, and do I recognize this and that, and what kind of scenery. Lots and lots of interest, akusala chanda, very common. So not a point of trying to stop it, but good to understand the difference.
Is the last process, can you say it again?
what do you say in that sense? Is it kusala, chanda, or akusala?
It depends. Sometimes we may think that just because it's a Dipitaka and I'm studying, it must be, of course there's interest, and we may like to think it's all kusala chanda because it's Dipitaka, but it's a trap to think like that, like moments of when one's trying to memorize the numbers, or one would like to be an expert in this detail, or sort out one's academic research. Many, many moments of akusala chanda. So only Panya can know. But we know that at any moments of the day, if it's not, as we've discussed so many times, if it's not dana or wholesome sila or bhavana, other moments, akusala.
And when there is understanding, I think that there is more and more the development of kusala. For example, metta. Without understanding of reality, there can be metta, to be friendly, to be kind. But when there is understanding, everyone is the same. All adamas, akusala is akusala, not me or his or hers at all. There can be more metta to help or to be friendly. Not as angry as before.
Okay, so thank you. Yeah. In what conditions will you say with the right understanding that this is samatha bhavana and this is vipassana bhavana?
Yes, because samatha is kusala. But at moment of wanting to concentrate, that is not kusala. But by seeing the danger of attachment all day long, and there is the understanding that what object can condition kusala, like metta or marana or buddhanusti or dhammanusti, at moment of understanding, it is kusala. No need to find other object at all. At that moment, right understanding, understand kusala as kusala and akusala as akusala.
So is this samatha or vipassana?
When there is no understanding of reality, only understanding citta, which is akusala and kusala, but still I, my kusala citta, my akusala citta, that is samatha.
Then in what condition will you say this is vipassana?
When it understands the characteristic of a reality right then as just not self. For example, that which now sees, not easy to understand that it's not self. It takes quite a long, long time before there can be some detachment from whenever there is seeing. There is the understanding that it's only that which is seen, no one there. Otherwise, there must be things in that which is seen, people always in that which is seen. But by hearing again and again, and more confidence on that which is seen, as soon as one closes one's eyes, no people. But as soon as one opens one's eyes, many people, always people or thing in the visible object. Well, visible object cannot be anything at all. It's that which is with the four primary rupas, which can impinge on the eye base, that's all. And it conditions seeing. The eye base cannot see, and visible object cannot see. But that which arises and experience, that which impinge on the eye sense, sees it, just see, and then follow it instantly. Followed by next moment, which perform different function, not seeing function, but sampaticcana function. Experience the same object, but not see, like seeing consciousness. This is the way to learn to detach from taking anything for self or me, because they are different realities. The more one understands realities as realities, is the way to lessen or have less attachment to that object. For example, how long will it take? As soon as there is seeing, it's only that which is seen, no one in it. until it becomes one upanisya pachya, habits to be acquainted with that which appear with right understanding. So without right understanding, it's no use sitting where or doing what, because satipatthana covers every, all reality, no matter sitting, walking, standing, seeing, hearing, daily life, all in daily life, because no one there at all in any moment of life. Learn to be patient, to be patient enough and truthful and resolute to understand whatever appears, because this is what Buddha had enlightened.
So we have time for last question. Then, thank you.
I want to know that the Buddha, did he declare his path as another doctrine before he enlightened?
What did he declare?
Did he say his path as another doctrine before he enlightened, before he became a Buddha?
It's not the moment of enlightenment, so not the noble truth, the four noble truths, because the third truth is Nibbana.
So he didn't say.
After enlightenment.
So what, just now you said Bodhisattva, when he practiced paramita, like Panya paramita, Metta paramita, and so on. You said without Panya cannot become Parami. It's just a normal. But I think as a Bodhisattva, he cannot understood as anatta, why he was, but, as a Bodhisattva.
But he could attain arahatship in the time of Tipankara Sammasambuddhi. But since he thought that he better become Sammasambuddho in order to help the others, that's why he developed Kusala as Parami to become Sammasambuddho instead of just being Savako.
So it seemed like Bodhisattva path, because he want to be something, he want to achieve something.
With metta, great virtues of karuna, compassion. Who can understand this without the wisdom of the enlightened one as Sammasambuddha? Very great compassion.
But as the life of Bodhisattva is still under the ignorance.
But less and less, because of more and more parami.
Thank you.
I think we should wind up this today's session and also Colombo. Of the audience, I would like to pay gratitude to what Achan Suchin and Nina, Sarah and Jonathan, and all the generosity of the Thai friends who make this event happen, the abbot of this temple who's unwell today, he sends apologized to us. I offered him two books from you, and he was so happy, and he heard that we had an additional session, and he was also very happy and asked the guy who stayed further. So he was very supportive. And the audience, those we have a small group, but the audience has great engagement, and then every one of us will have more time of considering what we hear today. And definitely if you have the next opportunity available in Colombo, we would be very honored to be present to attend. So thank you again, the speakers, and thank you the audience for your patience and for all your efforts. I hope that this merit will assist to shorten your samsara, getting closer to your goal.
I'd also just like to thank you, Fong, for arranging everything so very well, and for everyone for participating.